Welcome to another edition of the Kid Zach Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Today, you know, for our radio listeners or whatnot, we are also doing this on YouTube. So we got the camera working today, man. And so I told y'all we're going to try to do that for the next episode. And here we are. This also should be on iTunes as well. You know, Spotify listeners, keep listening. Been a lot of great feedback here. We are now in the Christmas week, the week of Christmas.
Yeah.
Is that right, DJ?
Yep.
You know, 25th? Yeah, 25th. So we like what, 2-3 days away?
Yeah, what's today?
Tuesday?
Tuesday, yeah. Right. 2 days away.
Tuesday. Yeah. So guys, this is being filmed on Tuesday. I'm gonna try to get the Spotify listeners, get this out to them tonight. But if not, just know this is filmed on Tuesday. So I'm like, oh, they said they're wrong, whatever, man. But hey, you ready, man?
I'm ready.
You had a great week so far?
So far.
That's great, man. So we're going to be discussing topics such as this today, guys. Patrick Mahomes and his Chiefs defeated the New Orleans Saints on Sunday in an amazing showdown. But were you more impressed with the Patrick Mahomes and his Chiefs, or were you more impressed with the New Orleans Saints defense? We'll get more into that later. And also, with the defending champions takes the court tonight against the Los Angeles Clippers. What do you expect from the Lakers? More importantly, their repeat to be expected this year. Moving on, Josh Allen had a 4-touchdown game against the Denver Broncos this previous Saturday. Is he and his Bills the biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs? It was an instant classic showdown between two former Oklahoma Sooner quarterbacks with Jalen Hurts and Kyler Murray, with Arizona and Kyler Murray coming out on top, man. What was your take from this game? And also, we move on to things like Derrick Henry is literally running his way into the MVP conversation, but can he take the MVP? And last but not least, we'll be ending the show telling you all some of our favorite Christmas stories.
Okay.
I'm just going to wish you guys Merry Christmas, stuff like that. And that's all. All right. Without further ado, man. You ready?
Yeah.
Let's get into it, man. So, Patrick Mahomes and his Kansas City Chiefs defeated the New Orleans Saints 32-29 on Sunday afternoon. However, they didn't just win it freely like they do most games. The New Orleans Saints defense got to him 4 times on Mahomes. He dropped back 54 times and they pressured him 24 times and he connected on just 26 of his 47 pass attempts. And this is the second lowest completion percentage for Mahomes, which is 55.3% of the season. So, DJ.
Yeah.
They did still manage to win.
Yeah.
So, tell me, are you more impressed with how Patrick Mahomes did against his defense or this defense?
I kind of feel like it's the wrong question, you know, for the simple fact, I'm be honest with you, it's not so much of what Pat Mahomes did or didn't do, because, you know, even if, you know, Pat Mahomes not having that great of a game, I mean, he still had, 250 yards, you know, 3 touchdowns or whatever, you know, if you call that a bad game, you know, and he got sacked and everything like that. But, you know, even if he had a bad game, like I said, it doesn't change how I think about Patrick Mahomes. It just doesn't. So what I am disappointed in, I'm going to be honest with you, that's why I'm kind of changing the question here. I'm disappointed in the Saints defense. Look at these numbers. First of all, the Kansas City Chiefs picked up 34 first downs. 34 first downs, right? Mm-hmm. Total plays in the entire game. Total plays. The Chiefs ran 92 plays for the entire game. Did the Saints offense play any, or was the defense just on the field the entire time? You know, total yards, they had 411. Kansas City had 411 total yards. Let me see. Passing was, you know, 232 of those, and rushing was 179, along with, let me see, you know, 1 turnovers and, you know, time of possession. Mm-hmm. The Kansas City Chiefs had 41 minutes on the field. 41 minutes. You know, versus the Saints only had 18. What's going on with the Saints defense right now? You know, going into the playoffs, you know, I know Drew Brees just came back. I mixed his name in there. You like that? Y'all like that? But I know he just came back. He getting into the sway of everything and whatnot. But listen, look, we're going into the thickest of the playoffs. You know, in the last couple of years, the Saints, you know, have had some unfortunate things happen to him. We talk about the Minnesota Miracle, you know. Mm-hmm. Then the Indianapolis. I thought it was the Minnesota
Minneapolis. You know,
Minnesota. Okay. Yeah. So had that miracle. Then the following year, was it the Rams with the no call? You know, mm-hmm. they, you know, they didn't have some unfortunate things that happened to them in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Right. So, but this defense, you know, acting like this, what I don't want the story to be, you know, this year, I don't want it to be, well, the defense, you know, defense didn't show up, or, you know, defense, you know, allowed 40-something points from, you know, whoever, Aaron Rodgers, whoever they play in the playoffs, you know. The defense has to get together. I'm not really going to worry about the offense, you know, because, you know, with Drew Brees is out there, I ain't going to worry about it too much. Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, you know, Sean Payton, they going to make sure they at least put up some points. You know, the Saints ain't going to come out with zero on the scoreboard. You know, they're going to at least put up at least, you know, you could say you give them at least, you know, 23 points at least, you know. So, I'm changing the question. I'm disappointed in this defense. This is ridiculous. And the thing, what makes it so bad is going against one of the best in the league. Now you can say, well, they wouldn't play them nowhere into the Super Bowl. But still, though, that's the team you had to play in order to hold up your crown. Because we all, let's be honest, everybody pretty much putting the Chiefs in the Super Bowl again. You know what I'm saying? They're just being on the AFC side, right? So that would be a team you have to get over the hump. You can't do these numbers on defense. They can't be on the field 41 times. You want to beat Patrick Mahomes? You know, you don't beat him straight up. I'm going to tell you how you beat him. You beat him by having his behind being, you know, sitting on the bench. You know what I'm saying? Warming it up. You know, that's how you beat him. He can't be out there on the field. And so the only way you do that, you know what I'm saying, is, you know, well, of course, offense has to do their thing, of course. But when the defense does take a field, you have to get off the field third down. And you can't let these people pick up 34 first downs. You can't give Patrick Mahomes 34 first downs. That's ridiculous. You can't let him run 92 plays. It doesn't matter how many picks that he throws. You know, he's going to come out. He's going to be amazing. I mean, look at that one pass that he threw at the back of the end zone. Who was it to? Was it
Miko Hardman?
Hardman. It was Hardman. That was a backyard football. I make that exact same pass.
You're throwing it away. You made the exact same
pass. I did. In backyard football. It was back here. Y'all can't see it, but it was over in that little corner.
He done
right
let him. That man didn't make no
sense. I made that same as a backyard football. That's what that was. You know, he put it in the best position to where only Miko Hardman could get in. It was kind of like, it was a teardrop. You know, if this was basketball, you know, that would have been called a floater. You know, because he just, and it just kind of, right in his hands, just like that, you know. So, changing the question, I'm disappointed in the Saints defense. You cannot let this team, 92 plays, you can't do it. 41 minutes on the field, you just can't do it, okay? You got to figure out how to get out the field on third down.
I must have been looking at a completely different game because I cannot disagree with you more. The defense was the highlight of this win right here. Did you not see how great they balled out? They got him four times. They sent pressure. Most teams are afraid to send pressure at Patrick Mahomes is how great he is against pressure. That front four is deadly. And who knows? They might have came out with the win at Cameron Jordan. I got kicked out for throwing a punch in the game. And you want to talk about Sean Payton. Let's talk about Sean Payton. How many times did he take Alvin Kamara off the field on third downs? Nothing against Latavius Murray, but my God, what can't Alvin Kamara do? He can catch it. He can run it. And we talk about Drew Brees. The man had played in a whole month. And not to mention, he didn't even have Michael Thomas or anything. So if anybody was holding somebody back that game, it was Sean Payton. And I'm not even blaming Drew Brees. He had to get back in the wake of things. But what I was upset about is, like I keep saying, Sean Payton, dude, listen, you play Taysom Hill these couple games. And so I'm thinking, oh, clearly, right? They're going to play Taysom Hill. They're going to ease Drew Brees back into it. Drew Brees literally played like every single snap. Taysom Hill got in two or three times. At the goal line, you gave the ball to Taysom Hill. The defenses were keeping them in this game, honestly. I watched these guys play most of the time. They were playing cover two man D. They were at least 10 to 15 yards off the line of scrimmage to make sure they got nothing deep. And I tell you, Mahomes was like, they was this close every time to touching this guy until he found somebody. I seen Lattimore go up and compete. I seen Jenkins coming to compete. Of course, that D-line. I seen the linebacker. Most definitely on Sean Payton. But to answer the question, I'm more impressed with the Saints defense. My God, listen, man. You get Drew Brees, who came back and came through clutching this game, man. Listen, nobody was open for him at all. And he still found a way to get guys to football without his number one target in Michael Thomas and whatnot. Now, if we want to talk in Super Bowl terms, I'm going to assume that Drew Brees isn't going to go another month without playing, right? And I'm going to assume Michael Thomas will be healthy come Super Bowl time, right? You know what I'm saying? And that'll be in full gear then. And this defense will be at another level by then as well. This is as well as I've seen anybody play this team all year. Yes, I know the Dolphins played them well, you know, and the Raiders, you know, but this defense, if anybody can beat this team, it's the Saints. It would have to be the Saints. I know we want to talk about the Seahawks, but the defense is not like these guys. That's what I'm saying. Let me bring up a couple of stuff to you real quick. Like I said, they played cover two-man defense the whole time, and they kept a lot of Mahomes' deep balls intact is what they did. So, Mahomes went 7 for 12 on 63 yards and 2 touchdowns while adding 39 yards on 3 scrambles that all went for first downs. However, it was the one of Mahomes' worst games from the pocket as he only completed 54% of his standard dropback passes. That's from Pro Football Focus, actually, right there, guys. So, you did everything right, but get the ball at the last minute, right? You done everything right. I mean, you look at this Saints team, hadn't been at full strength all year. And they only lost by what, 2-3 points, something like that?
But you said that you was impressed with the defense.
I'm impressed
with the defense. Okay, well, you know, third down efficiency, the Kansas City Chiefs were 9 for 18.
Okay.
That's 50%. That means sometimes they got out the field on third down, sometimes it didn't. You got to have that under 50%. You can't give a Patrick Mahomes 50-50.
You're right. But if you go back and you look at this game, right, Patrick Mahomes is going to be great. I've seen him be great. It's nothing I don't think he can't do, right? But the thing is this. Patrick Mahomes, let's talk about sacks real quick. I want to say sacks. Now, you think of a typical sack on a quarterback or something like this, like, oh, 3, 4, 5 yards. Patrick Mahomes will allow you to sack him for at least 10 or more yards. Note back to the Miami Dolphins game. The man ran 20 yards backwards, and it's the longest sack in Miami Dolphins history.
Okay, but the only thing about that is that, you know, with any other quarterback in the league, that would be a good argument. But it, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, with Patrick Mahomes, it doesn't matter if you sack him 50 yards behind the first down. You know, we've seen, you know, look at that what was that? That raindrop pass that he had to Tyreek Hill in the Super Bowl last year. That was on, was that? That was fourth down, was, I believe it was.
That's third down. I think like third and 15, 13.
It was long. So my thing is, you know, you keep talking about, you keep talking about, you know, he'll allow you to sack him for 10 yards. It doesn't matter if you can't get off the field on third and long. And what good does the sack matter if you can't get off the field on third down?
But this team has played them the best. I watched them when they lost to the Raiders and whatnot and played the Dolphins. This team has played them the absolute best there is to play. And I listen, you look at that game, it made me think of the Golden State Warriors. Well, I didn't get what folks were saying. I'm a huge Steph Curry fan, like I'm a huge Pat Mahomes fan. And what folks used to say, man, this team is lucky. My dad would say it. You would say it. And we were sitting there watching the game the other night, and it was just almost nothing could go wrong for these Chiefs. I'm serious. Like, guys, Patrick Mahomes is the guy, he will not let the play die. And he was pressured, and he was, you know, all this. And he threw the ball up, right? Fumble, sack fumble. No, his lineman catches it and runs 5 yards for a first down. This is stuff that happens to them all the time. They have the luck of the draw. So it's hard to beat a team like this now. But if you're asking me, am I impressed with the Saints defense? I am. And if anybody can beat them, it's the Saints, if nobody else.
I mean, the Miami Dolphins came close to beating them.
But it's different. You talk
about how is it different?
It's Miami Dolphins. Are you seriously ready to say in a championship game, the Miami Dolphins could beat the Kansas City Chiefs? They got the best chance.
I don't know if the Saints could. I don't know if anybody can beat Patrick Mahomes. I'm not even going to say the Kansas City. I'm going to say Patrick Mahomes.
But we already, if everything stays right, which let's be honest, it probably will. Because, I mean, I've just never seen a team with everybody's open. Always. They always get open. Folks can't never get a hand on them. But to see that these guys got a hand on him 4 times, you got to give the Saints something. And that's something they should be proud of. Well, yes,
I give it to him for sacking them, you know. But, you know, like I said earlier, what good is sacking him 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 19, 12 times or whatever you want to call it? If you can't get off the field on third down, you know, what good is it having him 3rd and 30 if he's still going to pick up the first down anyway?
I'm just saying, you add Michael Thomas in this bunch, and you don't kick Cameron Jordan out down the stretch. We may be talking about a different ball game here, man. So, moving on. The 2020-2021 NBA season kicks off tonight. Tuesday. All right, so if you guys hear this Wednesday, it kicks off on our day, Tuesday today. And the defending champions, the Los Angeles Lakers, take on the Los Angeles Clippers. They will also raise their get their rings tonight as well. Yeah. You know, LeBron posted on that early, so shout out to them and everything they did. The Heat are my team, and we lost, but that's okay. You know, it's a new season. I'm excited for the season. But my question here is, what do you expect from the Lakers this season?
Well, starting with their offseason acquisitions, you know, the Lakers, first of all, re-signed Kyle Kuzma on a 3-year extension. It's worth up to $40 million. So they re-signed Kuzma. That's a good keep. You know, he's a good role player off the bench. Mm-hmm. You know, occasional starter, but right. More so role player off the bench. They also picked up Dennis Schroeder. I think I'm saying his name right.
I don't know. Schroeder. Tell us, guys. I don't really know how to say his name.
They picked him up. That's a good, good play action point guard. I would say Dennis Schroeder is a good combo guard. You know, he can run the point if you need him to, but he's more so a guy where he can put the ball in the basket. That's what he is. You know, you give him the ball, he can make a play with, you know, playmaker. That's another good addition, you know, coming off the bench, who also can be an occasional star if you need him to. Marc Gasol is a good, you know, veteran center, you know what I'm saying, who can, you know, play occasional defense, give you some rebounds, you know, a little bit of toughness down there in the paint. And that's a good pickup. And also, Montrezl Harrell. Mm. It's also a good pickup. You know, I feel like he's more of a, you know, energy guy. You know, he gives you some defense, rebounds, not much of a shooter or anything like that. But, you know, he's one of those guys where, you know, he's not going to let the play die. You know what I'm saying? He's going to fight, scrap, you know, wrestle, you know what I'm saying, for the ball. You know, keep plays alive for the Lakers. You know, they need some of that. So, I mean, this year, okay, you got the Lakers. Let's put all the teams in who we know going to be in the playoffs. You got the Lakers. I hate to say it. You got the Clippers. I said it because of Paul George, you know, but you got the Clippers, you know, you got the Mavericks, you know, Luka, you know, Porzingis, they're going to get better this year. The Suns, you know, who just added Chris Paul, they're going to be better this year. I'm putting them in the playoffs. That's what, four? That's four, isn't it?
Like you said, you went Lakers, Clippers, Mavericks, Suns.
Okay, that's four. Who else? Yep. Golden State. I think Steph is good enough to at least get his team, to carry his team to the playoffs. So I'm putting them as five. Let's see who else. I'm gonna put Portland in there. Yeah, that's six. Dame Dollar.
The Spurs. I mean, they missed it, I think, last year, but normally they find a way to make it every year.
But like,
it's just the Spurs.
They just signed Derek White to a huge deal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know, guys. Like, I'm trying to think who else.
Utah. Well,
I mean, what, seven, six?
I think it's six.
I mean, six.
Too much. Utah.
Utah, okay. Utah. Devin Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell.
And I think, I don't know, could you put the Kings in that thing?
Oh, or Memphis?
Denver.
Got to put Denver back in there. Went to the Western Conference Finals last year.
No,
that
Memphis?
Means that means that Memphis ain't making it. I don't know. The competition going to be hard steep, this year. It's steep in the West. I was going to say in the East. But it's
putting
steep,
the Warriors back in there is what not...
Everybody yeah, but if I had to choose between them and Memphis, I'm going with Golden State and you know, Steph and the Warriors. So, right. But, you know, it's going to be stacked. It's not going to be like it was last year. Like I said, you got a lot of young teams going to get better. You know, you got the veteran team, the Clippers, they coming back. But in my opinion, that's all they're going to do is just come back. They're not going to do anything. They're just going to come back. So, if I had to rank where I think the Lakers would be out of the competition this year, I'm going to say they're going to be no lower than three.
Yeah.
No lower than the third seed. I don't see them getting no lower than that. I can see it being, you know, the Clippers. Because, like I said, I can see them being about their business in the regular season. Mm-hmm. You know, one. And then, you know, I can see maybe, you know, I can see, you know, Dallas, you know, possibly getting that two seed. You know, and then Lakers, you know, falling to three if they was going to fall somewhere. But I expect big things once again this year. Are they going to repeat? Because I feel like that's the big question. Are they going to repeat? I don't know. They got good pieces, but it's not that I just, like, don't believe in the Lakers. It's just the fact that the rest of the competition that's coming this year. Yeah. You know, with Chris Paul, how, you know, we saw how well, the Rockets done when he was there, then coming over from OKC, nobody expected nothing from OKC. So you got to expect he's going to do the same thing with Devin Booker and
Phoenix.
Aiden and them. Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like, you know, that team at least be good. They might be good enough to get past the first round. I don't know. You know, they're not going to win nothing. You know, but there'll definitely be a team in the playoffs that's going to give another team problems. You know, take them to a game seven. I can see that. So, I say the Lakers fall no lower than three. But if they repeat this year, I don't know just yet. I gotta see how the season progresses. You know what I'm saying? See how people playing, what the chemistry looking like on each team. You know, some teams gonna make some trades. You know, James Harden's still up in the air. So if he gets traded over to the West, that's gonna throw a wrench in the mix, you know. So I give him no lower than three.
Well, thing is this, man. I think LeBron said it best. I mean, he's just going to be cherry picking through the first half of the season for sure. I mean, you got AD, he's a walking bucket. I mean, look at him. He just got a brand new car. I don't know what it was exactly. He just got a brand new car.
I saw he couldn't buy a new car.
Yeah, like, I mean, new contract. I mean, he was clipping his toenails on the bench the other night. Like, I mean, it's almost one of the things that's too easy. And it's kind of, I don't want to think it like it was when the Warriors were on their stand and on their run and whatnot. I mean, excuse me.
Yeah.
But you almost look at it, you know, they at the top, right? But like you said, I don't think they're just fighting for the first seed this year. Because once teams done it, it's like, yo, I'm just trying to get through the season to get to the playoffs. Then we handle our business. But I think it's a good thing to have teams like the Mavericks and the Nuggets, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And even the Warriors, kind of like a reboot now with Klay getting hurt again and whatnot. It's like, dude, like, these folks at your neck, you know what I mean? And like we saw the Clippers go down last year, I'm thinking it could happen to the Lakers. It could happen. Because you think about it, like, Jamal Murray ain't doing nothing but getting better, right? Mm-hmm. Luka's projected to win the freaking MVP this year. You know what I'm saying? There's a new sheriff in town in the Clippers. You know what I mean? I feel like Paul George is all in with Ty Lue. I like Ty Lue. You know what I'm saying? I feel like, and that Kawhi is the one, I think he's still a little outside. I think everybody else this time around, Paul George, they're bought in. So they're going to look a little bit different in my eyes, right? But you look at the Lakers, they're still the favorites here. And if you look at it now, you probably say, yeah, they could repeat. But then I have to see them match up with some of these teams in the East, though. Because ultimately, they got to get through their conference, right? But then they got to take out, you know, somebody in the East. You know what I mean? Which they took out us last year with the Heat. But now this year, you got the Brooklyn Nets. I want to see them against them. Right, I would like to see the matchup against 6'10" Jason Tatum. My God, right?
Yeah,
I want to see that because his game has evolved as well, and I want to see him against Doc Rivers 76ers. So it's like I expect automatically. You probably say, okay, Lakers. Right now, if I can make a bold prediction, who's going to be in the championship? Yeah, I'm going Lakers. You know what I mean?
At least the conference final.
Right. You know what I mean? But I love how competitive this is off jump. Now they probably going to coast through this first half of the season because they got the talent and they can do that. LeBron puts like $1 million and went to his body like every year. And AD is with LeBron now, so I mean, you know, he leading them right. So I mean, I expect, you know what I mean, them to have success again. Like DJ said, I'm kind of the same boat, no lower than the third seed. I don't think they're shooting for one this year.
If somebody does knock them off, it won't be the Clippers. Okay, I'm going to tell y'all that right now. It won't be the Clippers.
It's possible.
I don't see it. And I say that because I know that ain't the topic, but it don't matter. But well, I say that because last year was the perfect year for the Clippers to knock off the Lakers. They were in the bubble. You know, Luka and Porzingis, you know, they were still young.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? No Golden State Warriors. There's another factor, you know. The Rockets, we all knew that they were going to be the Rockets. You know, they were going to be, you know, rocket power, then flame out, as always.
Yeah, thing too. There was no really home court advantage. Yeah, like AAU.
Yeah, there was no home court advantage. You know, so. And, you know, and supposedly on paper, they had the better team. You know, that's what was said. So last year was the perfect year for them to do it. And they didn't do it. You know, they didn't do it. Like, that was the best team that the Clippers have had in their franchise, other than the Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan team, right? That was the best team because they had Kawhi, Paul George, you know, and they all those good role players, you were Lemon Pepper Lou, you know. And they didn't do it. What they proved to me was that no matter how hard the Clippers try, no matter who they get, they will always be the little brothers in the city of Los Angeles to the Lakers, no matter what they do. It's not in them to win. And then Paul George puts up 10 points, 6'10", you know, ball handlers of a point guard, can shoot from wherever you want to, super athletic, and play defense up to, what, four positions?
Yeah, pretty
put
much.
Put up 10 points in the full in the entire game. Excuse me, in the entire game.
Well, I'll say this, and then I'll move on. But I say this to say it was the perfect year for him to win it, but it doesn't mean they can't knock off the Lakers again this year. See, because we were already, media folks, everybody was already handing the Clippers the championship. Mm-hmm. Already is what we doing. And at the while, it got in their heads, like, yeah, we got this. Let's show up and do it. But they never been together. They had just thrown this together. And it's like you important, like Paul George and Kawhi, when the Clippers, they always been hard-nosed. They already had a culture built. But then Lou Williams, you Lemon Pepper Lewis, you call him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Patrick Beverly and Montrezl Harrell. You know what I mean? They already culture built, but it didn't go with Paul George and Kawhi do. But now I think Paul George gets it, and we'll see if Kawhi gets it as well. So, moving on. All right, moving on. The Buffalo Bills defeated the Denver Broncos this past Saturday, 48-19, as Josh Allen starred to go on to finish the game with two rushing touchdowns and two passing touchdowns. And no interceptions on the day as well. Just an amazing game. Threw over 70% of his passes or whatnot. So let's not waste any time. Let's get right into it. Is Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills the biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs?
I guess if you could, you know, if you had to pick a threat, you know, I guess you could say, yeah, they're one of the, you know, biggest threats. Like you said, 359 yards, you know, total yards, whatever, two touchdowns, 114.5 rating, you know. Let's see. Josh Allen had, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So far, he's had, what, 5 games over 300 yards passing.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's had ratings up to 139 against the San Francisco game, 138 against Seattle, you know, 128 against L.A., you know, not to mention his number one receiver in Stephon Diggs, who also in that particular game had about, I think it was what, 10 receptions for 92 yards. I think as long as it was 18. But, you know, overall, this year, Stephon Diggs had over 1,300 yards with what? I should have went up a little bit further than that. But over 1,300 yards this season. And they're winning the division. They're, you know, in the division this year. The Patriots are bad. That's not normal. The Jets are bad. That's normal. I guess you said the biggest competition that they've had is the Dolphins. You know, that's the biggest competition that they had this year. So, and the Dolphins, they're good, but they, you know, they still, you know, trying to figure it out, trying to trend up the ladder with Tua. So, I mean, yeah, this year was a perfect year for them to do it. They're right on par. You know, to be able to do it, but they have to come out of the AFC, right? And everybody know, in order to come out of the AFC, you have to beat Kansas City. You know, if I had to put my money on it today, I wouldn't put it on the Bills. And I don't think nobody else in the world would either. It's for the simple fact, they got a lot of things. They got defense. You know, they got a good quarterback. They got receivers. They got a little bit of a running game. They got a good coaching staff, but they don't got Patrick Mahomes. You know what I'm saying? I can't say that enough. You know, and you can say all you want to. You can give me stats here. You can give me stats there. How they doing this or doing that, you know. But, you know, at the end of the day, like you were saying last week, it's all about the eye test, isn't it? And the eye test tells you who's better, Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, you know. Who's great? Who's going to show up in that moment when it's time to show up, when the game is on the line? Who you trusting more, Patrick Mahomes or you trusting Josh Allen? That's what's going to be the end of the question. That's what it's going to be all about. So, yeah, they can be a threat, but that's all they'll be, is a threat. You know what I'm saying? Not a major threat. Just, you know, oh, this team, you know, we got to get over them to get to the next team. That's basically the threat that they, you know, present. So,
I mean, I disagree because, I mean, the thing is, I think they're a major threat. They are the threat. In Buffalo, I mean, people want to say after what the Browns did against the Ravens and whatnot against the Titans to their threat, Buffalo is the threat. You look at this guy, last year he was completing 58.8% completion percentage right now. This year, he's 68.7. That's like 10% better or whatever, man. Like, I mean, the dude is on another level this year. 30 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. The dagger for him has been understanding the game. It's slowing down for him. And he has Stephon Diggs. He has over 1,000 yards this year, man. Mm-hmm. Over 100 catches, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard Josh having to say, he said, yo, I really don't want to run. It's just, you know, I have to, run. Because you're amazing at running and throwing. When he came in from Wyoming, I think it was just, yo, he was a big guy with a big arm. Because everybody wants those nowadays, don't they? Big guy, big arm, not that accurate, wild and stuff. And he was. And this year, I don't know what Sean McDermott and those guys are doing over there. But they ain't got him under control. He's making smart passes. He's throwing the ball across the middle of the field. And that is where you make your money as a quarterback in this league, the middle of the field. That's what Patrick Mahomes makes his money. And if we look at what the Steelers did here previously, they sure as hell ain't like the number one threat to the dog on Kansas City Chiefs. If anybody in his AFC could, or at least give them some type of, you know, Josh Allen is one of those players, man. You know, you're going to lose some sleep over. You really are. You're going to lose some sleep over playing Josh Allen. That's just this what it comes down to. And you're going to lose some sleep over this Buffalo Bills team. Because when he gets going, my God, 48-19? Like, the defense scores touchdowns? It trickles down is what it does. You know what I'm saying? He's making smart passes. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And you still have to account for his feet. Now, they haven't had the luck of what Kansas City had this year. But they've had, in a lot of games, things are going their way. You know what I'm saying? What I mean, it looks like, the play is dead. Play is over. Josh Allen figures out a way to make things happen. I've seen him in games early struggle and still figure out how to have a big game. He did it against the Steelers like a week ago. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Their run game with Singletary, it comes in and out, but it's there when they need it to be there. That's the most important thing. Now, are they a threat to the Chiefs? Yes, yes, and yes. They are the biggest threat coming out the AFC. To the Chiefs, in my opinion.
That's great. Oh, that's great. But the real question is, when it comes down to it, when your money is on the line, who you picking? Josh Allen? Or are you going with Patrick Mahomes? It don't matter.
I mean, okay, everybody's going to say Patrick Mahomes.
All right, then. He's been there. So it doesn't matter how good you are, how great you are, how good you've been all season long. It doesn't matter, you know, because when it come down to it, when it come down to the money play, all right, you picking Patrick Mahomes. You're picking my homeboy. Everybody is. So, I mean, they can be a threat, but that's all they'll be is a threat.
And you know, people were having the same conversation. I'm just saying it's not saying, you know, when Brady was still with the Patriots and that one year that they beat the Chiefs, you know what I mean? Somebody jumped off sides like, yo, come down to it, I'm trusting Brady. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the next year, this guy goes to the Super Bowl, wins Super Bowl MVP. So, I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen again this way. But, yes, there is a threat. I know we're going to say, of course, we're going to
almost say you're going to bank on somebody jumping off sides?
But my thing is this. We saw the game happen with the Patriots and the Chiefs, and like, man, he was this close. But everybody, it's Brady. It's Brady, right?
Yeah.
A year later, he goes and wins the championship.
And that's what we're going to be saying about Patrick Mahomes. You know, I'm not saying that the Buffalo Bills won't get close. You know what I'm saying? They might get close, and then something happened. Oh, a missed snap or a fumble or whatever. And be like, they would be like this.
They were this close.
We talk about Patrick Mahomes, though. You know, so
we talk about threats.
Fourth and 12, he picks it up running. He run like a fat man. So
Run like a fat man. Remember like Tim Tebow? How you saying Tebow?
Like no, he didn't run like no fat.
He
man.
Did run like a fat man.
Nah, not to me.
He ran like nobody gonna catch him. He ran
like he was running real hard, but wasn't going nowhere. That's what he ran like. Pat Mahomes ran like a fat man.
And he be getting all over the place too. You know, yeah. He love to work his body out. But he say he just can't get too big because he's a quarterback.
Whatever. Can't get too big.
That's what he say. He can't get too, you know, you get too bulky as a quarterback. Like, you know, you won't be accurate. Look, you can. Like, sorry, I can. But
Cam was trying to shred down.
Shred down.
I'm not saying for Patrick Mahomes shred down. I mean, it might help him. You know, I don't know.
I mean, yeah, it'll help you, Pat, after you won your MVP and your Super Bowl MVP and your Super Bowl championship. Yeah.
Well, first of all, don't get comfortable. No, okay, because you done won all that. Don't get comfortable. Then you won.
What do you tell me about a quarterback? Can he make all the throws? He's not finna look like Big Ben, but can you make all the throws? And he can make all the throws.
Yeah.
People don't care about what quarterbacks do.
Well, how you know if he didn't drop, 10 pounds, he wouldn't get a little bit better, a little bit more?
How much? don't know how much better this man can really get at this moment. He's a $503 million
in that case, Patrick Mahomes, just stay comfortable. Just
keep
don't try better. To improve. No, don't keep try to get better.
He's a big guy. Stay where like you're 6'3", 6'4", just say, 20, just stay 30. Where you're at.
You'll anywhere. Be just fine. No need to get better.
Moving on from two...
League isn't getting better.
Two of the league's elite quarterbacks to two more on their way moving up the elite ladder, guys. So, Arizona and the Philadelphia Eagles had a showdown for the ages, really between the two quarterbacks. Two former Oklahoma quarterbacks, one Heisman winner, and Kyler Murray, right? the Cardinals won 33-26, so... It's just simple. This, what did you get from this game? Like, there's no what they're going to do in the playoffs. I just want to know, what was your thoughts on this game in general when you saw these numbers and you saw this game?
I didn't really think much from the Cardinals' standpoint of view because they've been doing that a lot this year. You know, something I expected. But with Jalen Hurts, what it showed me was that he can hang with the big time if he needs to hang with big time.
Right.
300 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, 102 quarterback rating. Now, if you were wondering, you know, actually, this was the perfect game for him to be in. He needed to be in the game with a shooter of a quarterback, so to speak. Oh. You know, with a guy who can put up 33, 40 points on you, you know, kind of like a Aaron Rodgers thing, like a shootout thing. That's what the argument was with Dak. Can he hold his own in the shootout? But judging by these numbers here, Jalen Hurts looks as though he could do that if necessary, you know. So for Philly right now, you know, it's looking good. It's looking good right now. So, you know, and I've even heard reports that, you know, Carson Wentz asked for a trade, which – rightfully so, you know, if he keeps playing like this or at least decent throughout the year and they win games, you know, even if they don't win games, but they don't lose bad, you know, like the losses stay under 10 points or something like that, you know, it's pretty set in stone who the starting quarterback going forward is. So with Philly, you know, if you're a Philly fan, y'all lost him.
Yeah, 33-26.
Okay. So if you're a Philly fan, even though you lost, you should be smiling right now because it looks as though that you have a quarterback who can hold his own in the old Western shootout.
Bonanza.
Yeah, Bonanza, Gunsmoke, you know, all that good stuff.
So, you done?
I'm done.
Okay. All right. So, here's my thing. That was an instant class. That was exciting to watch. This is my thing is, you know, I got to throw some stats at it because I always throw some stats at it. If you don't mind, you know, I'm throw some stats at it real quick. So let's look at this. Murray set a career high. This is from Pro Football Focus again, guys. All right. Set a career high for passing yards in a single game for 406 yards. He was 17 from 26. In addition to that, he had 8 carries on the ground for 29 yards and 4 total touchdowns. He also has DeAndre Hopkins, who catches everything, right? Who had 169 yards, and 107 of his yards came off 3 catches alone. That's crazy, right? That is absolutely crazy, man. What I took from this guy, allow me to give Hurts stats too. Excuse me, Mr. Jalen Hurts, as you have arrived. Hurts went 24 for 44. I have something to say about that too. 338 yards, carried the ball 11 times, 63 yards on those carries. And as sad as this stat is right here, the first Eagles quarterback in the year of 2020 this season to throw 3 touchdown passes in a game. Sad, I understand. But let's say something right here first by Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray has 11 rushing touchdowns this season, right? Mm-hmm. So if we think about rushing touchdowns, we think about running backs, right? Right. So you got King Henry, who we're gonna get into talking about next, has 15 touchdowns. After him is none other than Mr. Dalvin Cook with 15, and then you got Josh Jacobs from Alabama with 10 touchdowns on the ground. 10 touchdowns. Kyler Murray has 11. So that's a stat within himself. He's literally third in rushing as a running back, and he's a quarterback. That's pretty dope. Mm. I have to say, I know he's not a running back, but I want to point that out. That's pretty amazing. I mean, and then from then on, you look at the touchdowns these guys. You got James Robinson and Kenyon Drake at 7, 9, 5, and 6. So he's head and shoulders above running backs on running touchdowns, right? And just anything like that. So, and we go Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. He threw the ball for 44 times. Did nobody not get that? 44 times. The last guy I've seen throwing it like that this year was Joe Burrow. Hope he gets better.
A lot of trust.
A lot of trust for a rookie. Exactly. That's my point. Trust. Doug Peterson, trust. I know you're back against the wall. Maybe that's why you did it. But trust. That's 44 times he threw the football confidently. I wasn't nervous when he touched the ball. And I don't think any other Eagles fans was neither. We was wild. You know what I'm saying? This guy has, like I talked about last week, the stuff that he's made of. I've watched his whole college career unfold. You look at it from Alabama, man, they benched that man. Like, you know they had to be embarrassing for him, right? You know, he let him go play. Won the national championship, right? You know what I'm saying? And went on. Well, he didn't win it, but excuse me, Tua Tagovailoa did. Stays that year and comes back and replaces Tua. Was it for the SEC championship? Was it that y'all won? You know, goes to OU, Oklahoma, for y'all to know that it is. Was the Heisman runner-up. Got into the college football playoffs. Like, you know the stuff he's made of. He puts his head down and he works, man. And I think the story here is, man, we in good hands for the next, hopefully, 5 to 10 years. With these guys, we are in great hands. I don't want to talk about the defense. I don't want to talk about none of that. I want to talk about this duel right here. We are in great hands. This gave the Eagles life. And this right here gave the Cardinals, which, I mean, they've been doing this all year. But it just also shows how amazing Kyler Murray is, man. Some of those passes that he made, you know what I mean? It was like, dude.
It's like two different dynamics, because, you know, one thing I liked about Carson Wentz was the fact that he plays with a sense of urgency, you know, but Jalen Hurts is complete opposite. He has one demeanor, you know, he's kind of like that Eli Manning, you know, if you're just watching a game, right, and you don't see the score yet, you know, sometimes, you know, they be advertising stuff, you just look at Jalen Hurts' face, you wouldn't be able to look at his face and tell if they were winning or losing.
Right.
You know, he keeps the same demeanor, the same energy. Which, you know, in a game that you're losing, you know, sometimes you can be upset with that, you know. But, you know, both of them have their ups and their downs. You know, one who plays with urgency, one who's a calm, cool, collective cucumber, you know. But in this case, in this particular team, you know, it seems to work for Philly. At least right now it is. So.
And Jalen Hurts also, before we move on, this is his second career start as well, man. Jalen Hurts, that's also, remember, that's his second career start. And what I love about this guy, we'll move on to Derrick Henry. 5 touchdowns, 1 interception, right? Through his second career start, because he came into the game at the Packers, and last game he beat the Saints. Dude, Philly fans, stand up, because we got something to be proud of right here with this guy. Enough is never enough. And what he said in the press conference also was this: I don't want to hear none of this second career start stuff. I didn't get the job done. That's it. You gotta love it. Cardinals, y'all in good hands. Eagles, we in good hands, man. Yo, so let's move on to our last topic of the day. All right. None other than Derrick Henry himself, man. Derrick Henry's had himself a season. Is he not, DJ?
He is. I would know.
Yeah, he's a Titans fan, guys. I feel sorry for him. Listen, so far this year, Derrick Henry has 321 attempts, 1,679 yards, 5.2 is the averaging per carry, excuse me. And 15 touchdowns and 19 receptions. So, DJ, should Derrick Henry be the MVP this year?
I think Derrick Henry should. Nothing against Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers, who are also having good seasons. But it's the fact that, you know, we're used to seeing Patrick Mahomes do this. We're used to seeing Aaron Rodgers, you know, do this, you know, from earlier years. But as far as Derrick Henry, you know, you don't see this type of stuff like this, you know, from running backs, you know. And, you know, the I know it's a quarterback's league and everything like that. But, you know, it's not like these quarterbacks are having just absolutely astronomical, ridiculous, you know, seasons and shit. Like, they're putting up 50, 60 touchdown passes and, you know, almost, you know, 6,000 passing yards. You know, they're doing what we always see them do every year. Be great. Be good. Whoever, you know, is in the race. But running backs, we don't see this a lot. And the thing about it is, when you do see it, you're not going to see it for long. You know, I haven't seen a running back who could sustain, you know, something like this for, you know, consecutive years, unless you're talking about like an Emmitt Smith or something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think he does, you know, deserve the MVP, because, like I say, you know, we're not used to seeing this stuff like this. I mean, he's had what?
Let me say this real quick. Last 2 years, you're talking about sustaining. Like, he's going over 1,000 yards the last 2 years. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this year, he's up to 1,600. And he, I'm going to be honest, he probably going to have, you know, 2,000. 2000 for the year is over with. So that's, you know, should be rewarded within itself. Hitting, first of all, it's hard to hit 1,000 yards in the NFL. You know, that's a milestone within itself. But then you're going to go above and beyond that, and you're like, he ain't hit 2,000 yet. But, you know, I think he's going to hit. And if he does, to do 2,000, that's virtually two seasons in one. That's what that is, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got the reward stuff like this. And you got to put out to the league that, you know, hey, other people can win the MVP other than quarterbacks all the time. You know, good Lord, we I feel sorry for defensive players, man. You know, the what you have to do in order to even be mentioned in the MVP is crazy. You know, defensive players were like, you know, if you're a DB,
Khalil, you know, Mack, or
yeah, I mean, you basically would have to be what, a defensive, Aaron Donald, and get 40 sacks. Because, I mean, come on, if you're a DB, you're not getting no 40 picks. You're not getting 20 picks. You know, that's the only way you would win. Yeah. I would hope they at least mention you. You know,
talking about picks. Like MVPs, like you go back to college, which, you know, the Heisman's really the MVP. I think Charles Woodson got it.
Yeah.
That. But nowadays, you know, defensive players, you know,
linebackers, you'd have to have what, 1,000 tackles in a year or something like that. You know, so
it's
extremely difficult. But, you know, we need to put a message out there, yo, somebody else can win other than a quarterback all the time, you know, who pretty much does the same thing every year, you know. So, yes, I think Derrick Henry does deserve the MVP. He deserves to bring that MVP back to where it belongs in Nashville, where we
it's
are
never
the Titans.
It never belongs.
Mighty Titans. There we go.
Anyway, I think Derrick Henry is a former Heisman winner, right?
He is.
So if anybody can get this award, it's him. But let me compare him to somebody that did get this award back in 2012, if I'm not mistaken. You all know Adrian Peterson. You know him, right? You know what I'm saying? So let's talk about, he was coming off a knee injury. Went for 2,097 yards, 348 carries. Also had a career high 6 yards per attempt and finished with 12 rushing touchdowns. So let's look at that right now. 2,000 yards. I think he hit 2,000 yards because I think we got, 2 games left, right? And let's check the schedule. Who's on the schedule? The Packers and the Texans don't have particularly great run defense. You know what I mean? I think he hit 2,000. And when it hits 2,000, that's when folks be like, okay, let's put him in the conversation.
Yeah.
That's the issue, though. He's going to have to run his way literally and take this MVP. If he takes it, I'm going to be happy for him. Honestly, I'm not going to be mad if Pack don't get it or Aaron Rodgers. Because when you play like this, you deserve to get it. Especially from the running back position. You can stack the box in with 9 people with this dude. Like, I've never seen anything like him since, like, Adrian Peterson. And even that, he bigger than Adrian Peterson. You know what I'm saying? Adrian Peterson up here had, 12 touchdowns? His MVP year? He's already got 15. He's already passed that. And what? Right now, Derrick Henry has, 1,600 yards? Yeah. I think he can put up, over 200-some yards or so per game or whatnot against the Packers and the Texans. No disrespect to them. But I'm just saying. You know what I mean? I've seen this guy have 10, 12 carries in the first half, maybe 30 yards, and then he just shoots off in the second half. I also want to bring this up, if you give me a minute, right here. So let's look at this real quick now.
He's, 321 yards within the next 2 games to get to 2,000?
I think you get 321. I mean, I think if that's correct or whatnot. So let's look at this. 1, 2, 3. Keep going down. 4, 5. He at least had 5 to 6 games over 100 yards this year rushing. You know what I mean? Like, who's doing this? You know what I'm saying? Like, if we talk about bell cow running backs, right? What it was a couple years ago was Zeke. Remember Le'Veon when he was relevant or whatnot?
Yeah.
David Johnson, who I've never been down. All those guys are eliminated. They're literally regular backs now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody gave Derrick Henry his respect. And I'm giving it to you right now, Derrick Henry.
That's another reason to get him in the war. You see how long, you know, those backs lasted, you know, when they were at their peak, you know, and now they're just kind of mediocre. You know, it's kind of like, well, you can't give them MVP now. So, you know, at least mention them in the conversation.
Exactly.
You know, like when they do stuff like this.
I want him to win this award because if you go and look at it, I think it was, I don't know, Deion Lewis still on y'all team right now?
No, he's not. He's with the Giants now.
Okay, that's right. Deion Lewis. So last year and the year before, they kept bringing other backs in. I was like, why don't you just let Derrick Henry carry the ball? They kept passing downs. Figure it out when it come down to it. You have a literal guy who will carry you all the way. He damn near did it last season. You see what I'm saying? Against the Chiefs in the conference championship game. And he's doing it again this season. So this is a respect thing. If anybody can do it, I think he needs to do this. He's been on this team for a while. He's been ready to take off. And man, when he did, he did. He's putting guys on highlights and stiff arming. And you know what I mean? Derrick Henry, I know you're not going to hear this, but go get this MVP, man. I can't wait to see somebody go over 2,000 yards, man. If I think he needs to do it. I want him to do it just so they can give him this award. That's the only way they're going to do it if he goes over 2,000 and he gets this. So right now, I know people not saying he's the MVP, but once he hits the 2,000-yard mark, he's in the conversation, and we in the conversation, you know what I mean? You can get inserted to the MVP, you know what I mean? So, Derrick Henry, keep doing what you do, man. You want a Heisman. Go win that MVP.
321.
You know what I'm saying? Go. You said 321?
Mm-hmm.
321 yards to get to 2,000 yards?
Yeah.
To get to 2,000 yards. Come on. I know he get that. He probably get that. Just what? Playing against the Packers. You know what I mean? I think that.
Hopefully.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
300-yard game.
Yeah. Like, y'all got the Sunday night football game, too. So, yeah. And then, you know, Texas the next week. So, do your thing, Derrick Henry. Yeah. So, this concludes the third episode, right?
Yep.
The third episode of our Kids Act podcast, man. We've been rolling. Like, this would be the first edition on YouTube for you guys watching on YouTube. You know, radio listeners, Spotify. We're going to get on iTunes as well. You know, I appreciate all the love and support I've been getting. This has been fun. You been having fun?
Mm-hmm.
Been fun, man. Yeah, and I know I said I'd tell you guys a Christmas story. I kind of
thirsty.
He's thirsty. Well, we're finna end it, but I know I was tell you guys a Christmas story, but it's not really a story. I kind of sprung that upon DJ at the last minute, but it was just, you know, a Christmas memory of just, you know, growing up, you know what I mean? Always rushing downstairs to get some under the tree. I don't know if y'all parents ever told y'all, like, you get ashes in your eyes if you look before time and whatnot. And, you know, I think one Christmas we had a basketball goal, right?
Yeah, because that was the second one.
Yeah, so I mean, that was pretty dope to me, along with a lot of stuff we got. But I, you know, just getting those huge surprises, running downstairs, seeing the cookies gone and whatnot. So, you know,
the element surprise is gone now.
That was different now. It's more so giving now than receiving, you know what I mean? It's like, man, I gotta get all you give, you know, compared to, man, I'm gonna get this, I'm gonna get this, I'm gonna get this. So it's different.
Somebody asked me the other day, was I done Christmas shopping? I said, I've been done since October.
My God, he got on it early. I'm still early. My gift said they can get here the 24th. I hope it comes. I really do. But so, yeah, I mean, just hope y'all, you guys all enjoy your Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. We'll see you again before the New Year. Yeah, because the first is like, well, if not, then we'll, you know, let's look. So our show would be again next Wednesday, right? Yeah. We actually see like a day or two right before the first. So, yes, we hope y'all have happy holidays, man. Merry Christmas, man. We hope you guys are enjoying the podcast so far, the Kids Zach podcast, man. The first episode right here will be on YouTube soon, guys. Spotify listeners, iTunes listeners, keep doing what you do. This should be up tonight, man. You got anything else?
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, guys. Be blessed.